when I started playing electronics, I liked the fact that you can just work with sound and just different layers, and that sort of appealed to me much more than trying to do kind of anything with the violin, which is more sort of soloistic or just kind of,
musicology, is that the case? Did you study musicology?
I studied musicology like in England, and then I sort of wanted to study composition, and that's why I came over to Holland to study with Louis Andriessen, this composer there.
And that's when I met
Andy, like in the, I mean, not immediately, but I think like 5 years after I came, you know, we sort of bumped into each other. And and that's why, so I still like, I have this kind of career in classical composition also still, and I teach composition in the Hague Conservatory. So, so in a way, like, you know, I still, you know, actually with Andy and this other group is the only people I really still improvise with. And,
Is that a big tension for you between composed music and...
No, because I thought at some point it's something I have to solve, and it does solve itself. I think I see a lot of young composers, musicians, like students of mine have that like dilemma often, you know, that they love improvising but they're a composer, or they have a band but they also compose, you know. And I think it's really okay to just continue with your different, you know, because they sort of feed on, everything feeds on each other.
Yeah.
And like for me, like recently, like I think I would say in the last 10 years or 15 years, I've ended up also doing a kind of composition which somehow brings things together as well. Like I love working now a lot with improvised musicians and creating compositions with them. That's something that... I didn't think I would enjoy doing that, but I think I really get a lot out of that now. Yeah.
So as you get older, you become less of a control freak as a composer.
I noticed it today
when we were working with the Pozzini Quartet. You gave them a lot of, you know, like it's a piece and they're trying to play it the way it's partly, I mean, it's written, right, that stuff. And then Yanni goes, but you know, you don't have to do it exactly like that. You can also, he really knows what he wants. So I think sometimes if they're not doing the thing, then he sort of points it out. But there are other moments when it's really left up to the character of the musician, and that will always make it richer.
I mean, we're talking about open scores, so like, and there's a tradition of that, but like often, let's say if people are coming really from the classical tradition, they often ask, am I allowed to do this? Can I do this? And I don't get into this way of thinking you're not allowed. You can do whatever you want. These are just suggestions, but you have to somehow understand the sort of the identity of the piece, the context of the piece, and then make those decisions as a sort of positive decisions, not like, oh, I'm not allowed to do this, so I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
You know, because the minute you think that, I would want to say, well, then do it. You know, do what you're not allowed.
Yeah.
You know, like,
correct.
I was just going to ask, outside of this duo, maybe you could just each talk a bit about what else you're working on currently, or what their current projects or obsessions are.
I'm working with a really great, actually a student of Yanni, that's how I met her, Genevieve Murphy. She's a Scottish composer, and she's also a performer, and she does spoken word stuff and plays bagpipes.
Amazing.
And we have a duo. We also play in a band with five, and we do a duo. We've been doing the duo much more because it's also much more easy to get gigs with a duo. And I'm really enjoying like that. And it's a kind of similar setup with Yanni. She has kind of some electronic stuff, but the difference is that she's using, a lot of it is based around her text, and she tells these great stories. She really comes from this storytelling tradition.
Sounds great.
Yeah, I love it. It's really fun. And we have a good laugh together also. She has a great sense of humor. And I'm still playing with this sound poet, Anne-James Chaton. You know him?
No.
You speak French, right?
Yeah.
He's from Paris, and he does a lot of He hasn't played very much in Canada, which is true.
That's strange, yeah.
We played once in Victoriaville.
Yeah.
And we played a little bit, but not much. But he does amazing sound poetry, like, really, it's a long story.
Yeah, it's a great project, yeah.
And so he does the text, and I create backing tracks, actually, for that. That I don't want to deal with having to deal with that stuff, so he just triggers them himself,
yeah.
And then I play along with him, and that's really.
And yeah, what are you working on?
Well, I mean, we like part of the tour now. We're going to be premiering this new string quartet that I wrote. So that's going to be a premiere, like string quartet with Andy.
Yeah.
Called Cassettes.
Yeah.
And it's sort of it's like a sort of 45-minute piece based on. It's kind of also dream-related, COVID-related project, actually. And, okay. And Andy's playing cassettes through the through the guitar of
amazing.
Me speaking, but in a kind of encrypted way.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a kind of beautiful, like long piece, very sort of
we'll do it in
landscape.
When we play in
yeah,
great.
Okay. And then I've got a release in November or no, December of a new kind of. Also a COVID project which I did, which was it's all coming out, which
it's
is
all coming out,
yeah, which is this kind of more kind of psychogeographical thing about the place where my dad was born, which is an asbestos mine in Cyprus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Canada, you know about asbestos mines,
yeah.
Of course, and this was like where my grandfather worked as an engineer,
yeah.
And so it's like piece is really based on the history of that place. Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah.
My last question is, what is the last book you read, or what book are you currently reading? Or do you not read books?
I'm reading a book, actually, that Yanni gave to me, so that you asked a good question there. I can't remember the name of it.
It's Nabokov's Dream.
It's by Nabokov. I've got it here. No, I left it. Actually, I left it in the...
Yeah.
But it's great. It's about... Well, I don't know yet because I've just started it.
Yeah.
It's about dreams.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a subject that we're both also really interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Like we also did a project where Yanni has did this Dreams of the Blind
thing.
And we've done a few things in that. I can't remember the name of the book.
Yeah, Insomnia, Dreams and Insomnia.
Oh yeah, Dreams and Insomnia.
Okay.
It's like sort of a, it's not a novel, it's more like a
yeah, it's a kind of
notes.
Study, and it's also like, it seems that, like he used his dreams quite a lot to frame his novels, which I didn't realise. Like.
I didn't realise that. What are you reading?
And I'm reading at the moment, I'm a fan of Orhan Pamuk, the Turkish writer, and my wife and I went and saw him in The Hague when he was promoting his new book a few weeks ago. And his new book is called Nights of Plague, and it's also coincidence. It's a kind of book about a pandemic in the beginning of the 20th century in a not specified Greek island under Ottoman rule.
Okay.
I've only sort of read 4 or 5 chapters already, but it's about really this kind of the sort of receding Ottoman Empire and the sort of and how they were grappling with, in a way, dealing with pandemics, which was kind of based on kind of historical data.
Yeah.
And trying to convince convinced to quarantine or not, and how they control things. So, I mean, I heard in the talk that the project began actually before COVID.
Really?
And then when his publisher found out that it was he was writing a pandemic book, he said, no, finish it quickly so we can bring it out. So I think not that people want to read necessarily books about a pandemic now that it's over,
yeah.
But it's still a fascinating book.
We just put out this great double LP called Clap.
Okay.
And it was the sort of brainchild of this guy we know in Paris. He actually runs an advertising agency, but he's a massive fan of improvised music and like lots of different kinds of music. And so sometimes he puts money when he likes a project. He'll put money into it. He helped us out with Anne James. He helped us out once, and he recently came up to us with his own idea this time. He said he wanted to invite musicians to make a piece of music based on And the source material would be an applause, some applause.
Historical applause of some kind, yeah.
So he invited a dozen music. He asked us also to choose a few. And also Yanni has made a piece, I made a piece, and there's a few.
It's like More Mother, Scanner. Different.
Sounds great.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's so a double LP. It's a really nice package. We couldn't bring them with us because they each one weighs about 5 kilos.
Yeah.
But it's a greater. That's the most recent thing we did.
I mean, that's the other thing. Maybe we didn't say is that we have a label together on Sounds.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So that we've I think we released about 70. We have 70 releases for the last 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So like.
So we put all our own stuff also on there.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's on unsounds.com.
Music Parallel is proud to present Rebetica by Andy Moore from The X with Yannis Kyriakides. Also featured, the Bozzini Quartet with Andy Moore performing Yannis Kyriakides' cassettes. It's all happening live in downtown Montreal at the Espace Orange in the Edifice Wilder at Blurry and St. Catharines. Show happens on October 16th at 7:30 p.m. Tickets available on the Espace Orange website. A CKUT co-presentation. Join Quebec Music Parallel for three straight nights of jazz and new music in Montreal. Tuesday, October 11th, the Yves Charuet Trio, along with Marianne Trudel and Karen Young at the Lion d'Or. Wednesday, October 12th, Plante with New Person Les Oreilles and No High Banda at the Sala Rosa. Thursday, October 13th, Ivan Nonet and Mathieu Staller at Le Ministère. Tickets available on the venue websites. A CKUT co-presentation.
Thank you. Μαγκάτσα χπίνησα αγαπώ, ποτέ δεν Thank you. Πες μας τα μεγαλεία του ορόφου. Στο ορόφο καλτί περνάμε πύλα κι ο καλάκια πίνα πίνα.
Να έχεις καρδιά να ανέβουν тащили туш на перну, мантика глика пиля, кето харама на стриво, яре бети и поля.
Madres, corras pasó tu vida de cadena. Ανάσταση στην Αιγαινά με στέλνεις. Με τις 45 Σουβραμανάμαν στον οροπό με
This is a show from Radio. We're a group of stations bringing new and forgotten ways of making radio to our listeners. Each week we give artists the challenge to make radio that works across the whole of Europe and beyond. Are you up for it?